Welcome to North Christian Church's audio blog. I'm Pastor Ed Collins, the author of this blog. This week's blog, dated August 26, 2022, is titled Rejecting Identity Politics in Religion. I remember being on social media during one of America's most hotly contested presidential elections and saying to myself, man, I can't believe how awful people are to one another just because they have differences of opinions regarding candidates. I saw and heard about good friends being so emotionally spun up that they parted ways. If a person's beliefs happened to align in part with one of the candidates and they mentioned it publicly, proponents of the opposing candidate would converge on that person like sharks who smelled blood in the water. You got the sense that these sharks were always lingering, waiting for the opportunity of a feeding frenzy, such as the ugliness of social media. The problem was that many times the person being attacked wasn't even aligning with a particular candidate or political party. They were merely stating their opinion about a certain topic. Instead of a civil dialogue, people persisted in attacking one another publicly, dragging innocent parties into the mix through name-calling and an age-old tactic called identity politics in order to gang people into groups and then take sides. I wrote a similar blog on 10/26/2018 worth your reading titled Identity Politics and Sports Fandom 2, which contained this excerpt from Wikipedia. Identity politics are political positions based on the interests and perspectives of social groups with which people identify. Identity politics include the way in which people's politics are shaped by aspects of their identity through loosely correlated social organizations. So, what happens when an otherwise peaceful society begins rallying around identity politics? Eventually, there's the notion that only two sides exist and people must either self-identify with one or the other, or the mob will choose for them. It's disgusting. What happens when you believe in principles that fall into both camps? Apparently, it doesn't really matter. You'll be aggressively assigned a group identity by others, and typically there's a name associated with it, and then treated as if you're an enemy by that group's opposition. Meanwhile, all you were trying to do was express your opinion. This same perverse thirst for controversy and strife exists in the churches. Why? Because Satan and the kingdom of darkness encourage it, and human pride thrives in it. Paul had no tolerance for such shenanigans, nor do I. He saw otherwise peaceful people fighting over who belonged to the, quote, best group based on who had baptized them. Can you imagine how ugly that was? I can. People to this day make a habit of imposing identity politics on religious matters. 1 Corinthians 1:10-17 reads, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, quote, I follow Paul, or quote, I follow Apollos, or quote, I follow Cephas, or quote, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. While Satan applauds divisions in the church, the Lord hates it because it divides his family, the body of Christ. Proverbs 6:16-19 reads, There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Jesus himself spoke about the dangers of divisions in the kingdom. Luke 11:17 reads, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls." Since the very beginning, Satan has been slithering around trying to divide the Lord's family. A kingdom at unrest doesn't function as it ought to. In fact, it spends way too much time and energy infighting and not enough fighting its real enemies. Because of human pride, it's difficult to avoid getting roped into a fight, but when provoked, we must respond as Jesus taught. Luke 6:29. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Love will always triumph hate. Good always triumphs over evil. We must have faith that God will tend to those acting satanically, especially those who are his children. Our best defense is to love those whose weaknesses manifest as divisiveness. Romans 12:14 through 21 reads, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So we must keep an eye on satanic attacks on the Church of Christ. Oftentimes, they emerge from within the ranks. If we can't restore a person in a spirit of gentleness, a la Galatians 6:1, then we must avoid engaging with them at all, especially on controversial matters. Romans 16:17 through 18 reads, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive." No one ever wins when two Christians go to battle publicly. Well, Satan does, but who wants that? I speak from experience, as I failed in this area myself more than I'm inclined to admit. Wisdom says, "Walk away and focus your attention on good works." Titus 3:8 through 11 reads, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned." It is best to spend your time and energy devoted to good things. As a believer, you are, after all, representing Jesus Christ in this world. There are many brothers and sisters in Christ out there who could use your help, not to mention unbelievers who need to hear the gospel. Strive to advance the kingdom of God instead of dividing it, for this is your calling. Ephesians 4:1-6 reads, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Instead of calling each other names and using satanic tactics like identity politics to divide the church, let us accept our calling and bring glory to God. Life is short and the time is now. Endure any hostility against you, leaving your attacker's fate in the hands of God. Make the most of your time by spreading the gospel to those outside the church while you're still able, for that is good and noble labor. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-13 reads, "Working together with God, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacles in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also." Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this, please visit us at nccdighton.org. That's nccdighton.org. Until next time, God bless and have a wonderful day in God's matchless grace.